Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody. We're so glad that you're here with us on this second Sunday in Lent. And we've gathered together, and somebody must have put the word out that there was food today because we have almost a full house. But we are so glad to see all of you, and we want to welcome you. We want to welcome those that'll be listening later on online. As we continue in our series, Who is Jesus Really? Continuing to pray that understand and realize more and more our experience with Jesus and what that involves. So thank you for coming out today. So as we begin our service, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there in our bulletin for our call to worship. God calls with a blessing.
Our help is in God.
God calls with a promise.
Our help is in God.
God calls through our questions.
Our help is in God.
God calls through the Spirit. Well, let's join together there this morning and sing our first hymn, 454. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And you can follow along on the PowerPoint there. We're singing three verses today. Well, let's let's join together there for our opening prayer. God of help and hope, be with us this day. Breathe into our prayers and praise. Breathe into our spirits. Breathe into our worship with your promise of help, your promise of rebirth, and your promise of blessing. In faith and trust we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And turn to 442, and we're going to sing that hymn, Anywhere with Jesus. Carla and I were having a little discussion about this hymn because I do not ever remember singing it here. She thinks we have, but I do not remember. But when I heard it this week, I thought, now I want us to sing that one. So let's sing that. We're going to sing the three verses there. And if you know it, sing out this morning.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Singing along this morning. And so we're going to invite our kids to come forward this morning, if they would. That was one of the early paths that I learned to walk on. And then there was others, you know, sometimes there's little brick paths or sidewalks or, you know, some of those. Or, you know, when you go hiking or trailing, you find these little paths where there's dirt, but there's no weeds or brush and all that kind of stuff that you can, so you can get through. Well, guess what? Jesus is a path. And he tells us that by saying, I am the way. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we follow Jesus, we walk on God's path. And that path is a path of love and peace and joy and grace that God brings into our lives. So when we follow Jesus, then we're following along God's path. So if I would ask you to walk, if I put a little line down here on the floor and I'd ask you to walk on that line, you're following along on that line, aren't you? Now what happens if you fall off the line or step off the line? Will the lava get you? Did you ever play that in your house? Yeah, see, some of the adults are laughing because they remember. When I was a kid, we used to put cushions or pillows down on the floor. Thank God Mom never saw us doing that. We'd been in trouble. But we would jump from cushion to cushion or pillow to pillow, because if we fell off, we fell into the lava. And that was the rest of the floor. So when we're following Jesus, we're following along on the path. And he leads us the way God wants us to go in life. And because of that, we'll have lots of joyous times and peaceful times. But guess what? Sometimes the paths can be dangerous or scary. But you know what? Jesus is with us. You know what he does? You have your hand for a second. He holds our hand. And he walks with us on the path. Because he's with us all the way, whenever we face in life. So don't forget that. Now, you're not going to feel probably Jesus' hand, but he will be with you. He lets us know that. And he lets us know that he leads us. So we're not alone. We're not by ourselves, and we don't have to be scared because he's with us. Because he always says, fear not, for I am with you. Okay, you can go on downstairs, and I think you're going to be with your class with Miss Rhea, and we can let the teenagers go downstairs, and they got their teaching class this morning, all of them, so. Readjust that, I'm having some trouble there. Keeps wanting to pull it off. Okay, so as they're heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer this morning. Somebody this morning. Yes.
I have a joy. Megan has gained a little weight so she can go back on the transplant list. So that holds off the dialysis just a little bit longer.
Good. That is good news. We were praying for Megan there for several weeks, and we moved. She's over on our monthly list, going through dialysis. So we definitely want to keep praying for her. That is the good news there for that. And thank God. Someone else? Yes. Okay, unspoken. We know the Lord knows what that need is. Someone else? Wow, people being shy. Go ahead.
Brecken has his 3-month scans this week over at James, so we're praying to get results.
Yes, we want to remember Greg in our prayers then this morning and for his checkup there and for good results, good report for that. Yes, indeed. And I saw, go ahead.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. I saw another hand. Yep. Oh.
So she'll go every 3 months for an infusion, but it's no more chemo for her.
Good, good. That is good news to hear.
She was real good.
Yes. And it was so wonderful. Was it last Sunday when she was here? Or was it the Sunday before? I can't remember which Sunday it was, but yeah. Yeah, I think it was last Sunday, but yes.
It was 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. I saw another hand, yeah.
Our friend's son, Christian, is on a mission trip overseas. We want to keep them all safe.
Yes, we can do that. I want to remember Christian, who is on that missions trip. Someone else. Yeah. What was the last name?
Schaus.
S-H-O-U-S.
Schaus.
S-T?
S-H-O-U-S-E.
Oh, S-E. Schaus.
Okay. Schaus.
So we want to remember that family in our prayers. The loss of that loved one. Someone else. Yes.
Praise and prayer for our Viking boys.
We can do that. Yep. They're going to need it because they're going to face a tough team coming up on Wednesday. That's for sure. That regional semifinals. Yes.
I don't know if anybody on Facebook saw where the FFA up at Miami's high school has a mailbox sitting by the gymnasium door. The post office donated the box, and Rob Hart fixed it all up, painted it, and it's for the used American flags to be dropped off so they can be disposed of properly.
Yes, I did see that. And yeah, so if you happen to have one that you want to get rid of in the right way, yes, that's a great way. I saw that. Yes. Okay, so Sharon with lymphoma and the chemo there. So we definitely want to keep, and maybe fill out a slip for her, and then we can get her on our monthly list and keep praying for her while she's going through that. And definitely, definitely. Someone else? Anyone else this morning? Yeah. Okay. Unspoken there. Anybody else then this morning? We want to remember continuing praying for Mary Schaup. She is at Spring Mead, thank you. And she is doing fairly well, and they'll continue to work with her. I'm assuming she'll probably be in there the first 20 days that Medicare usually allots for rehab after having hip surgery. And so we want to remember her, and we want to continue praying for Bill and for God's continued healing and strength for him. And then for Diana Beasley, we want to continue to ask for God's strength and touch for her. And anybody else then before we, yeah. Yes. Definitely can do that. So, anybody else then? All right, there's quite a few names there. And so some of those names that maybe come to your mind or something that's on your heart that you couldn't share, that you can lift up to the Lord while she plays, and then I'll come and close us out then. Our gracious God, as we gather together today to worship you, to gather as a community of faith and sing and pray, and Lord, we are just so thankful that we have the privilege of being able to come before you boldly and bring our requests and bring our needs, and that you are the one that graciously invites us with grace and open arms to come before your throne. And so we do that today. And we think about those that have been mentioned, Lord, so many that are in need of your touch today. We think of Greg today, God, and we're asking that there'll be a good report with his checkup coming up. Thank you for the good word there with Megan, Lord, and the dialysis. And we just continue to pray that she will continue to make headway, and that you'll give her favor on that transplant list and open that door up there. Lord, we pray for Christian that's on this missions trip, that you'll be with him and that team and group that he's probably traveling with, and you watch over them and use them and to be a blessing, Lord. We pray for Sharon this morning, God, with this lymphoma. Lord, we just pray as she starts chemo that you would bring healing to her body, strength to her, Lord, and give her faith and courage as only you can do, and use others to be a blessing to help her along the way. And we're thankful for that. We continue to pray for Mary, God, that you'll continue to give her strength and that she will be able to accomplish those goals that she needs so she can go back home. And we pray for Bill, Lord, your continued healing and touch upon his body, Lord. And we pray for Diana, God, for your continued strength and healing touch for her as we lift her up today. Lord, we pray for the Viking community, God, and not only the basketball team as they continue to move forward, but we also pray that you'll lead and guide the leadership as they are going to be choosing a new superintendent to oversee the school system there. And God, we just ask that you would guide and direct there. And Lord, we lift up the Schaus family, Lord, today with the loss of this loved one. God, we just pray for your comfort. We pray for your peace and your presence to be with them in this time of loss, Lord, and that you administer as only you can do. We lift up these three unspoken needs today that were mentioned, Lord, that you would just minister as only you can in those situations. And we're thankful that you are able to make ways where there seems to be no way. And Lord, we pray for others today that might have come into the service. Maybe they were carrying a heavy burden or something that's been weighing on their heart. And God, we just ask that you would just minister and work and be the one that replaces our heavy burdens with what you said is light and easy, and that we can walk in your way and learn from you. And we're so grateful for that. Sometimes, Lord, we walk down paths that are very heavy and hard. And sometimes we wonder how we're going to make it through. But you told us to follow you, and that your way is easy and that your way is light. So we look to you, Jesus, and trust you. And I ask that you would do that for anyone here today. Not only for all of us, but anyone specific today that may have come in with a heavy burden today, God, that you would free them and relieve them today in your presence, Lord. And we're thankful for that. I ask that you would guide the rest of our service as we break the bread of your word, God. May you just speak to us and encourage us and lift us up and continue to strengthen our faith as we walk with you. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us in prayer today. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your giving each week or each bi-weekly or monthly, however you give, helps us to continue the work of the ministry of the church here locally and around the world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together for our prayer dedication. God, our help and our hope, bless these gifts that they may bring help to the needy and hope to the despairing. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading is coming mainly from one major passage this morning, but we'll look at our Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 passage again that we've been reading all through our entire series. And so we'll begin there, Matthew 16, verse 15. And what about you? Who do you say that I am? And then from John chapter 13, we're going to read verses 33 through chapter 14, verse 7a. Little children, I'm with you for a little while longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jewish leaders, I also tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I've loved you, so that you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other. Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I'm going, you can't follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll give up my life for you. Jesus replied, you will give up your life for me. Or will you give up your life for me? I assure you that you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas asked, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you will also know the Father. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word and that God would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us this morning. Amen. Amen. Two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents a week before Christmas. At bedtime, the two boys knelt down to say their prayers. And when the youngest one began praying, he started praying at the top of his lungs. I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new Nintendo. I pray for a new DVD. His older brother leaned over and nudged him and said, why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf. To which the little brother replied, yes, but Grandma is. Who are you, Jesus? I want to talk to you about encountering Jesus at the way, or as the way. And I think you will be a little surprised at the way I talk about this morning. I was trying to think, and I cannot remember how old I was. I was either 19 or 20. I was probably, I think it was the end of my freshman year in college that summer. I was invited by my brother Harry. A few of you know my brother Harry. He used to call on you for feed back in the day. To go on an Emmaus walk. An Emmaus walk is something that the United Methodist Church had started, and then it kind of blossomed and went in all kinds of directions with many denominations after that. So he invited me and my oldest brother, Mike, to go on this Emmaus walk. So we went on the Emmaus walk at the same time at the United Methodist Church in Marysville, Ohio. And I'll never forget my experience as we journeyed 3 days that weekend, And our focus was on the path or the way of God's grace with Pastor Thad, who I really fell in love with, our spiritual director during that experience and that journey. Each day, we considered a different aspect of God's grace in our lives. And a little bit later on in the message, I'm going to tell you those three different aspects of God's grace. And it was one of the most wonderful experiences of not only God's grace, but the love that I felt. Because on the last day, the last night, when we celebrate in dark candlelight communion together, and there was a young man that gave his heart to the Lord and was baptized that night for the first time on that walk. And then afterwards, we went back to our where we slept at on the floor in a sleeping bag. And we opened up, which I didn't know, letters. Dozens of letters from loved ones, family members, church friends that wrote us letters about us and our lives and our experience on the Emmaus. And I was just overwhelmed by the love of God. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus invites people to experience him by following him. That's what Emmaus is. The Emmaus walk is a walk that the Jesus and those three disciples on the Emmaus Way road in Luke 24, where they encountered the risen Jesus. And Jesus does the same thing even to this day. He invites people to experience him by inviting them to follow him and journey with him on the path of experiencing God's grace and love. In our reading today, Jesus invites his disciples who become shaken and overcome by fear because he tells them he is leaving this world. Now, this is just one place in John. There's all kinds of places in them in John where he says, I have to leave and go back to the Father so I can send you the Comforter, the Spirit, who will be with you. One that is just like me, who will walk with you daily in your lives. And in the midst of this, and while he's trying to teach them about what they need to do and how they need to continue to experience him with them and one another, he says those famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, what has happened is we've turned that into steps so we can go to heaven one day. When Jesus was inviting us to experience a relationship with him and a daily walk with him in this life and what we're experiencing. So what does it mean when we say Jesus is the way? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. First of all, we're saying that Jesus is the path of abundant life. In fact, if you look at it there and we see what John is trying to portray about Jesus is this. Jesus took the path of humanness so we might experience the grace and life of God and the love of God in and through Jesus. The Jesus way begins with his life. How did he walk with God? How did he journey in faith and in faithfulness? Because the way he journeyed eventually led him to a cross and to the resurrection. And then, as John will tell us later on in the book, 15 through 17, to God's right hand, where he sends the Spirit and he glorifies God through all of that. And what happens is Jesus tells them all of this, and then he says, and I want you to journey with me so you might experience it too. And he describes that as the way. The way we journey. Because of his journey, we experience God's grace on our journey. We experience God's love. We experience God's peace. We experience God's joy. We experience all of these things. But specifically, we experience God's grace. And one of the things we learned on that Emmaus walk is the first one is the one that blew me away. I never had heard of this before. It's John Wesley's teaching is that we experience his grace even before we begin our faith journey. It's called prevenient grace. He is working. He is there with us even before we come to faith. And he is wanting to guide us and make us a part of what he's doing, not only in the world, but what he wants to fully accomplish. But not only does we experience that before faith, but at the beginning of our faith, when we make our profession, when we're baptized, that's called saving grace. And then through the rest of our faith journey, as what Wesley called sanctifying grace, where God continues to work in our lives to make us a little bit more like Jesus along the way, which Paul advocates throughout his letters. And I remember vividly on my Emmaus walk learning about these aspects. And I knew about two of them. The first one I didn't. And how that just was, I was overwhelmed by God's grace and what God had done for us through Jesus. And what Jesus does, and I didn't read any passage this morning because it would have got way too long to read. But if you follow reading into John 15, he starts talking about abiding in him. And what Jesus does then is each day from that becomes a journey of abiding in him. That's a part of walking on the way with Jesus. When we connect with him and we are nourished by him, because he goes in John 15 and he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. You can't do anything without being connected with me. And there's that relationship there. And he shows that connection and we're nourished. And then he goes on to talk about how we can overcome our fears by remaining in his love and grace. And Jesus invites us each day to remain and keep connected with him in his love and in his grace and with each other. Sadly, some miss the path of grace and love and peace and joy, and they give in to fear and control and anger and all kinds of things. Now, listen, we all get angry. We all get frustrated. We all can let those kind of things get into our lives, but Jesus keeps steering us away from those things. He moves us away from fear. He moves us away from the voices of fear. And it's so easy. All you got to do is turn on the radio, turn on the news, turn on whatever. And the voices of fear are proclaiming constantly into our world. And what has bothered me recently is so many Christians have bought into the voices of fear that they have begun to get angry and they want to take things into their own hands and they think, well, we'll fix this by taking control of it all. And some I've even heard on the internet talk about using violence to do it. And I'm like, no, that's not the Jesus way at all. That's not Jesus at all. That's not of Jesus' spirit at all. Because Jesus guides us away from fear, because when people operate out of fear, what do they normally do? They want to control things. We all do that. When we start to get afraid, we try to control our situations. And guess what? We try to gain control over situations either, number one, we can't control, or number two, we have no business controlling. And in the process, we lose our own joy. We lose our own peace. And we miss out on what Jesus has provided. God will take care of everything else. We need to each day abide in him. Because Jesus is the way of abundant life that he has provided for us. Now the second one this morning might throw you for a loop, but it's this. Jesus is the way through the bull. Now, some of you may be thinking of a certain word when I say that. But here's what I mean by that. I want you to listen to this story. An author that I have been reading, and she shared this story. And I'm only going to summarize a little bit of what she experienced to convey the point I'm trying to make. Her and her friend, so I'll just say two friends, were walking a footpath in the countryside of England when they came to a fenced pasture at the edge of the farm. Well, in England, and I didn't know this, if you look around, there are gates to fenced areas so that you can keep going down paths in England throughout the countryside. So she said they looked around for a while and they found the gate. And so they could get through on the other side. Well, it was first a little hard to find, but then they found it. But then they noticed right next to the gate a sign that said, "Beware of bull." Well, immediately, her friend said, "Where is it?" And so their eyes are looking around, and all of a sudden her friend said, "Oh, you see the bull's over there on the other side of the pasture." Well, they decided that they were going to go ahead and go. And so they followed the path, keeping their eyes towards where the down the path and following where they were going to go. And out of that whole story, she said the bull did not move. And eventually they arrived at the gate on the other side and the end of the pasture. What's my point? And when I read that, it just like hit me. And I'm like, well, I'm going to use that. Here's my point. Life is risky. Following Jesus can be risky. As we go through, Jesus knew life was risky and is risky. That's why he leads us. In fact, John chapter 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd and I'm the one that's going to lead you and give you life. I'm going to lead you in and out of the gate and take care of you and all of that." Because he's the one that will lead us through the bulls, or to use Jesus' terminology in John 10, through the wolves, and then in another passage, through the snakes. I think you get my drift. If you've been following Jesus very long, you know life includes both joys and sorrows. The two roads have a tendency sometimes to merge, and then they fall along as companions sometimes. And often we want God and our beliefs to fit into a nice, safe box of our choosing. But I have discovered, and the longer I live, I believe it even more so, God, life, and faith don't work that way. Life is risky, yet Jesus leads us through. Hang on to Jesus, or as we sang in that hymn, anywhere with Jesus, we can safely go. That doesn't mean we won't face sorrows or hard times. And in the midst of all of that, as he's preparing them for him leaving this earth and lets them know that they're not going to be alone, here's what he tells them to do. Love each other. And Jesus is the way of love. How do we walk the path? How do we walk through risky life? How do we walk through the struggles and sorrows of life? We walk with Jesus in love. And as Jesus was preparing his disciples for the sorrow of his disciple, or for his disciple or his departure, he said they would face, and here's my paraphrase, many bulls. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? He says, you will face trials and tribulations. But what did he say? Fear not. for I have overcome the world. Then he reminds them, in other words, he says, here, this is what you need to do. Love each other, because when you do that, you are showing everybody that you are my disciples. Why? Because love is the opposite of fear. We all think faith is the opposite of fear. I thought that for years until I found out that love is the opposite of fear. And Paul tells us in Galatians that faith operates through love. And as we follow the way of love, Jesus will move us closer and closer on the path of love and away from fear. He is our way through the bull, so to speak. And he is the way of love. Who is Jesus? He is the way. And he invites us to experience his love and grace and to trust and abide in him as he leads us through this messy life. Maybe you're like me and you have allowed fear or anger to guide you at times instead of love. Whatever the case, you are welcome to experience Jesus anew. That's the one thing I've said at the end of this series, at the end of each message. We're always, Jesus always invites him, us, to experience him anew, to experience his love and grace, because he's the one that moves us from a life of fear to a life of love. And next week, we will encounter Jesus as presence. Who are you, Jesus? Amen. Well, just take a moment or so to say hi to a few people and greet one another. And then we'll go ahead and sing our last little chorus there. We worship and adore you. And then we'll go down and eat. We'll sing it through twice, and let's let those hallelujahs ring this morning. We worship and adore you, bowing down before you, songs of praises singing, hallelujahs ringing, adore you, bowing down before you. Well, let's join together for our benediction. As we have been helped, may God bless us and keep us. May God lift our heads, show us favor, and grant us peace. Amen.